As they went on, Tater looked at the sky more frequently, and his expression was sober and thoughtful as the brimstone cloud sank closer to the earth.
"I've never seen a sky like this,"
Hilto said when they'd stopped to water the horses in the middle of the forenoon.
"The gods are angry."
It was strange how readily they found the true road. The fork where they'd made the wrong turning was plain to see from far off. It seemed that they could not possibly have missed the tall cairn of stones that marked it, and the main road to the Red Sea, travelled by so many trading caravans, was more deeply trodden and apparent than the rudimentary track they had followed into the valley of the sinking sands.
"Ishtar blinded us,"
Nefer murmured as they rode towards the crossing.
"But this time we'll not be so easily duped."
Then he looked up uneasily at the sky and made the sign against evil.
"If the gods are kind."
It was Hilto, with his warrior's eyes, who picked out the dust cloud ahead of them. The low-clouded sky had obscured it until now, when it was close. Hilto galloped alongside Taita's chariot and shouted to him,
"Magus! Those are chariots ahead of us, and many of them!"
They reined in and stared ahead. The dust cloud was moving even as they studied it.
"How far ahead?" Taita asked. "Half a league or less."
"Do you think the Trok has a second division coming up behind him?"
"You know better than I do, Magus, that that's the common tactic of the Hyksos. Do you not recall the Battle of Dumb Men, when Apepi caught us between his two divisions?"
"Can we reach the crossroad before they cut us off?"
Taita asked, and Hilto narrowed his eyes.
"Maybe so, but it'll be a close race for it."
Taita turned and looked back.
"Trok will be on the road behind us already. We dare not turn back into his arms."
"It'd be certain disaster to leave the road and enter the sands. We'd leave a clear sign for them to follow. The horses would fail before the end of the day."
"No wonder Trok laughed at us," said Mintaka bitterly. "We're once again between the hammer and the anvil,"
Meron agreed.
"We must run for it," Nefer decided. "We must try to reach the crossroads and get onto the main road ahead of them. It's our only escape."
"At our best speed, then, even if we use up the horses in the effort," Hilto agreed.
They surged forward three abreast. The chariots bumped and swerved as their wheels caught the ruts in the track, but the horses were going well. The dust cloud ahead became more menacing as they ran towards it. The cairns of stone seemed never to grow closer. They were still more than 500 cubits from the turning when the first chariots of the approaching division hove into sight, half obscured by dust and the awful yellow light. They stopped as though uncertain of the identity of the three racing vehicles they saw coming towards them, then suddenly started forward again, coming straight at the fugitives. Taita tried to force a last turn of speed out of the horses, but felt the weariness overtaking them. They held on until the last possible moment, but the enemy was charging head-on at them, and it gradually became certain that they would not reach the crossroads before them. At last Taita held up his clenched fist in the command to halt.
"Enough!" he cried. "We can never win this race."
They halted across the track, the horses lathered and heaving for breath. The charioteers were pale under the dust that coated their features, and despair bloomed in their eyes.
"Which way, Pharaoh?"
Hilto shouted. They were already beginning to turn to Nefer for leadership.
"There's only one way open. Back the way we've come."
And then, so low that only Mintaka could hear him,
"Into Trok's arms. But at least it gives me a last chance to settle a score with him."
Taita nodded agreement, and was the first to swing his chariot into a tight full turn. He led them back towards the sinking sands. The others wheeled round and followed in his dust. At first, the dust covered their view of the pursuit. But then a puff of hot wind blew it aside momentarily, and they saw that they had already lost ground. They tore onwards, but Nefer felt his horses start to fail. Their gait was heavy and laboured, their legs flopping, and their hoofs starting to throw out sideways. Nefer knew that it was nearly over. He placed one arm around Mintaka's waist.
I loved you from the first moment I saw you. I shall love you through eternity. If you truly love me, then you will never let me fall into Trok's hands again. At the end, it will be the way for you to prove your love.
Nefer turned to look down at her, puzzled.
Do not understand, he said,
and she touched the captured sword that hung at his side.
No!
He almost screamed the word and hugged her to him with all his strength.
You must do it for me, my heart. You cannot give me back to Trok. I do not have the courage to do myself, so you must be strong for me. I cannot, he cried. It will be quick and painless. The other way...
He was in such distress that he almost ran full tilt into the back of Taita's chariot as it came to an abrupt swerving halt across the track ahead of them. Taita pointed ahead. Trok was there. Even at a distance they could make out his bear-like form at the head of his moving column, coming straight towards them. They looked back, and the other enemy was closing in fast.
One last fight! Hilto loosened his blade in his scabbard. The first, the worst, the second, the same, the last, the best of all the game.
It was one of the adages of the Red Road, and he quoted it with genuine anticipation. Taita looked up at the bile-coloured sky as another sultry gust rippled his hair, like wind through a field of silver grass. Mintaka tugged Nefer's arm.
Promise me,
she whispered, and his eyes filled with tears.
I promise you,
he said, and the words scalded his mouth and throat.
But afterwards I shall kill Trok with my own hands. When I've done that, I will follow close behind you on the dark journey.
Taita did not raise his voice, but it carried to all of them.
This way! Mark well my wheel tracks and follow them faithfully.
To their astonishment, Taita turned his horses off into the sand, heading at right angles from the track, north, into the unmarked, shifting dunes. Nefer expected him to sink to the hubs immediately, but somehow he must have found a hard crust under the soft surface. He went on at a steady trot, and they followed him closely, although they knew that this was a last doomed attempt. Looking back, Nefer could still make out both clouds of dust from the two enemy divisions converging on them from east and west. There was not the least chance that, when they reached it, they would not find the place where the three chariots had left the track. Unless, of course, Taita could weave a spell of concealment to outwit Ishtar, but that was a despairing chance. Ishtar had proved that he was not susceptible to such trivial witchcraft, and Trok, with his own eyes, must have seen them turn aside from the track. Yet when he looked ahead, he saw that Taita had the golden periapt of Lostris in his right hand, and around his wrist he had wrapped the necklace that had been the gift of Bay. He was not looking back at the pursuit, but his face was raised to the menacing sky, and his expression was rapt. Their plight seemed hopeless, but Nefer felt an illogical and perverse glow of hope. He realized that in some mysterious fashion the gift of Bay had enhanced the old man's already formidable powers.
Look at Taita,
he whispered to Mintaka.
Perhaps it's not yet the end. Perhaps there'll be one more move of the Bao stones left to us before the game is decided.